Our scripture reading today comes from Ecclesiastes, the last chapter of Ecclesiastes. So we read together, beginning at verse 1. Remember also your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw not near, of which you will say, I have no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars are darkened and the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men are bent and the grinders cease because they are few. Those who look through the windows are dim, and the doors on the street are shut. When the sound of the grinding is low, and one rises up at the sound of a bird, and all the daughters of song are brought low. They're afraid also of what is high, and terrors are in the way. The almond tree blossoms, and the grasshopper drags itself along. Desire fails, because man is going to his eternal home, and the mourners go about the streets. Before the silver cord is snapped, or the golden bowl is broken, or the pitcher is shattered at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, and the dust returns to the earth as it was, and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, all is vanity. Besides being wise, the preacher also taught the people knowledge, weighing and studying and arranging many proverbs with great care. The preacher sought to find words of delight, and uprightly he wrote words of truth. The words of the wise are like goads and like nails firmly fixed. They are the collected sayings. They are given by one shepherd. My son, beware of anything beyond these. Of making many books there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. Giving a special attention to verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God will bring every deed into judgment with every secret thing, whether good or evil. Let's ask the Lord's blessing. Lord, we thank you for your word of truth. We thank you that you have made a good and glorious world, and that there are still today and always have been so many signs, so much witness, so much evidence of your goodness and wisdom and power and beauty. And in the pleasures that we find in this world, we see something of the pleasures that we were intended to know. But we also know that we live in a world of sin. And we know that the sinful heart of man and the devil in this world seeks also to use the pleasures of the world, which could be and should be honoring to you, and in faith will be honoring to you. He seeks to use them to turn us aside into emptiness and meaninglessness, vanity. And we plead with you, O Lord, for the power of your Holy Spirit, that we might live rightly, we might live with understanding, we might live with wisdom, we might praise your holy name, rejoice in you, and bring honor and glory to you, and that our lives in the end, in that way, would not be meaningless, but filled with purpose and eternal glory. We ask, Lord, that you would bend our hearts and our ears to you in this day. Grant your blessing to your servants in every place where they speak. Give them courage and strength and truth. And where men would stand to speak in your name and speak falsely, cause them to trip and fall. Confound their words and cause your people to flee. We pray, O Lord, that your church would be full of truth and your name would be blessed in this day. In Jesus' name, amen. beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week, Sunday or Monday, I had a call from someone that we knew for our 15 years, during our 15 years in Neerlandia. Her mom had died. She had been in a senior's home for a couple of years. She had reached 86 years old. She had been a widow for close to 30 years. She'd been in the hospital for a week or two, and her heart had given out. Reverend Pontier, the minister that would have led the funeral, is away at a synod meeting, so they called and asked if I could lead the funeral. And I said I was very glad to do that, and I am. You can imagine what was a lot on my mind this week. And that's where the text from Ecclesiastes came from. This is not what they've asked me to preach on at the funeral, but this was somehow on my mind. She loved the Lord. We had a lot of encouraging visits over the 15 years that we were there. Sometimes laughter, sometimes serious conversation. On my mind was, for those of us who love the Lord, what do we want to say to the generations following? When I die, if I could sit up in my coffin just for a minute and speak to not just my children, but everybody that had gathered, I hope there'd be a few, what would I want to say? That last moment. What would I like to say to everyone? What comes to mind was, fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. You might look at that and think, wow, that's kind of morbid. That's your last word? You can find something better than that, can't you? Fear God and keep His commandments. When you think about what He is saying, though, it's not like that. I want us to listen to the preacher and understand what he's doing here and what he's saying. Our theme is finding focus in the fear of God. And I want to look at experience speaking to youth, and then at the call to keep God's commandments. So, if you're reading Ecclesiastes, and we've all read it, I'm sure, and I sure hope, more than once, what is it that you feel when you get to chapter 12 of Ecclesiastes? And I said that intentionally. What is it that you feel? I'm not saying, what do you think? I'm not saying we don't think, but I'm asking you, what do you feel? I know that sometimes I struggle to understand, you know, I'm thinking, I struggle to understand the preacher's constant refrain when he says, meaningless, meaningless, all is meaningless, vanity, vanity, everything is vanity. Look at that. He can't mean that without qualification. This is the Bible. God has revealed that He is eternal. He has an eternal purpose. He has brought us into that eternal purpose by uniting us with Jesus Christ. John 11. Jesus is talking to Martha and to Mary at the death of Lazarus. He's asking them two questions, and He says, he who believes in me will never die. Never. Even though he die, he will live. Though our bodies may go to the grave for a time, our spirits go to be with God, and our bodies rise again. This is the word of God. So we understand that his words about meaninglessness have to be about life apart from Christ. Life apart from the eternal purposes of God. That's meaningless. That's vanity. Somehow, I don't know where these things come from or why, but sometimes they do, and it's interesting. And I thought of Johnny Cash. He was a big singer, and I was in my 20s. Some of you, I'm sure, know him. He understood. He made an album when he was in his 70s. By the way, it's my favorite album from Johnny Cash, even though he couldn't sing anymore. Shortly before he died, he had nothing left but a very gravelly voice and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the songs he sings in that, I think it's in the last album, but it's at the end of his life, and it was called Hurt. It wasn't his own song, I used to think it was, but it was from another band. He changed a couple of words, I noticed, as I looked it up. Between changing a couple of words and the age he brings to that song, the meaning changed very radically. And in his singing of it, he was looking for what is real. He was looking for what is lasting. He was looking for what is meaningful. I hurt myself one day to see if I feel, to focus on the only thing real. And then trying to understand himself in life, he says, what have I become? All I know goes away in the end. And he goes on to confess, a crown of thorns in a liar's chair, letting everyone down. But the most haunting line for me is, you could have it all, this empire of dirt, because I will let you down. He helps me to feel what is real in that song. Experience is talking to youth and to anybody who will listen. You cannot find anything meaningful. You cannot find purpose. You cannot find anything that lasts in this world apart from the Lord Jesus Christ. It's all meaningless, momentary, unless established in the eternal purposes of God. Do you feel some of that when you read Ecclesiastes and get to the last chapter? You haven't read it for a while, read it all the way through and let your heart listen when you get to that last chapter. The Spirit of God is certainly speaking to our heads, but He's coming to us through our hearts, because He can't get to you any other way. By the way, this is an aside. I hope it's not a rabbit trail. I read a good article in the paper from Reverend Juss from Victory Church. You know, Victory on the Rock. Last week, Friday. Why do parents lose so many of their children? One of the things he said was, parents, the time we're spending with our kids too often is from our heads. We've got to be talking from our hearts. They've got to see the love of Jesus in our lives. That was a really well put point. We've got to see our love for them and the love of Jesus as one thing. Anyway, the whole book of Ecclesiastes is about the experience of the preacher, testing everything, all the bright promises of life in this world. And he wants to draw us in by feeling what he feels as he's looked at all of this, tested all of this, and his life is flowing away. Everything is going. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before you get where I am. When he talks about being old in that chapter, that's who he is. That's where he is. That's where he's come to. He's talking from that perspective. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days come when each one of them is a struggle and everything you see is going. The eyes grow dim. Instead of the sun coming out after rain, which lifts up our hearts and causes us to rejoice and pick up our heels, it's like the clouds come back after the rain. Our legs tremble when we stand up. I'm not looking forward to that. Maybe it won't happen, but I went to a senior's home regularly on the coast, and one of the guys there got to be 103 years old. I think he died before we left, but we often saw him there. And at first, he was walking okay by himself, but you know what? At the end, his mind was still there. But he'd get up to walk out of the room carefully, with much effort, with his hands on his chair, and his caregiver would grab his belt and help him out of the room. And I looked at that and I thought, wow, good for you for keeping on. But it's a picture of age that I wasn't looking forward to. The grinders cease. Remember your Creator in the time of your youth, before the grinders cease. That's before your teeth fall out. You're not enjoying your food anymore. I remember Mrs. Gallant. I see her each week. And they don't put her teeth in, not even the false teeth, and she eats something. I don't know what it is, and I don't know if she can taste it. A bird wakes you up in the morning, even though you can hardly hear it because your ears are so poor. And yet the slightest sound wakes you up because you don't speak very well. And when they sing, you don't even know what it is. Now, I'm not looking forward to that. I love the sound of birds. We have a big bird house on our deck, and all we've got is sparrows out there, but I love hearing their chirping. It's a very happy sound. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before you get older and you're afraid to fall. I'm not afraid to fall yet, but I get hurt way too often when I do. You know, when we think about old age here, as the preacher of Ecclesiastes is talking about it, we're not talking about coming to a time of retirement in a world of riches where we're traveling the world. We're talking about nearing the end of our time when we need help with everything. Our mind is still active. We think over our years. But like the preacher, we have so many regrets. And our regrets are not a bucket list of things we didn't get to do. Ah, you get excited. It's rather, we're thinking, what have I done that has lasting significance? What have I done that hurt someone that I can't undo rather than blessing them? What can I say before I die? The preacher writes the whole of Ecclesiastes from that perspective. He looks back on his life and he remembers all the effort that he poured into building projects. He built beautiful gardens and waterfalls, fruit trees he planted. He had a gorgeous place. And I love all these things, and probably a lot of you do. If you don't like building them, at least you like walking in them. I remember all the effort we poured into building a farm, building barns, building storage sheds, building silos, silos that were supposed to outlive us by umpteen years. And then I went back 10 years after I left. And the only thing still standing was the house. What a wake up. Somebody else had bought it. Wasn't what he wanted. Tore it all down. He remembers trying every pleasure to see if there was meaning in that. He had singers. He had wine galore. I'm not even sure he had to make it, unless he liked it to make it, then he did. He had women. And it's not given as a sinful thing. It's given as a pleasure of the world, a good pleasure of the world. So women, if that doesn't make sense to you, just think of whatever is pleasurable in the world that is not offensive to God, and think of filling your life with it. And know that God says it's meaningless apart from Christ. We have riches that never seem to end. I don't know for sure if this is written by Solomon. A lot of people today don't think so. It was considered to be from Solomon for a long time in the church. And I think it could be. Sounds like it in some ways. But it was said in Solomon's time that silver was like stones. He was so rich. Silver was like stones, and they weren't gemstones. They were like the stones on the street. It's so much riches. And it was meaningless. With wisdom, the preacher even tested wisdom itself. He's asking himself, could knowledge itself give meaning to life? And he found that with much wisdom comes much sorrow. With much knowledge comes grief. I know a minister who traveled the world in his work, and he saw so much grief. He wrote a book about losing his faith in God. Now, I hope he didn't lose it entirely. But with much knowledge came so much grief, he could not grasp it. The preacher is leaving this last testament to generations to follow, and he's trying to draw us in to his experience before we get that old. However old we are, he wants us to know it now. He wants us to hear. He wants to get through to us. After searching in wisdom all his life, he realizes that wisdom itself, for wisdom's sake, knowledge itself, for knowledge's sake, it will let you down. Remember your Creator. In the days of your youth, don't waste your life. Remember the one who made you to know him at the start, from the heart. Remember he made you and you are his. Seek him that he may delight in you, and you will indeed delight in him. That's the meaning of life. Fear God and keep his commandments. His commandments are not burdensome. Not when you understand. This is not a dreary conclusion. That's what I want to get into yet. There's no dreary conclusion here. This is the beginning of eternal life. This is the Spirit of God breathing life into our bones, making flesh alive, so that we live every day of our lives. So turning back to the theme, finding focus in the fear of God, keep God's commandments. Let's look at that. The most profound thing we can do is to understand the conclusion to this book of Ecclesiastes. The best thing we can do to understand is to keep together, fear God, and keep his commandments. That's one statement. It's not two things. If you disconnect them, you lose. You can't do either one without the other. They're one statement. Fear God and keep his commandments. The one who does not fear God does not even wish to keep his commandments. The one who does not fear God in the way he wants us to cannot keep his commandments. To fear God contains an element of fear. The word makes no sense if not. We should be afraid to raise up the wrath of God against us. We should be deathly afraid to be his enemy. I don't want to hear the words that Jesus warned about at the end of Matthew chapter 7. Some will say to me in the end, Lord, Lord, did we not do many wonderful things in your name? And he's going to say, go away from me. I never knew you. I don't want to be that man. We should stand in awe of God's majesty and power and holiness. And there's a kind of a fear in that. It's different, though. Remember the catch of fish when the disciples with Jesus, he was calling his disciples and he went with Peter and John out into the lake. He said, let down your nets. And they said, Lord, we've been fishing all night and we didn't catch anything. Like, this is just a bad time. He said, let's down. Okay. And the net is so full it tears and they can't bring it in. And Peter says, do you remember what he says? He sees that and he says, Lord, go away from me. I'm a sinful man. There's some fear in fearing God. But the true fear of the Lord that is commended to us here is knowing Him as our Creator and our Redeemer. Our Father in heaven is so much greater and yet closer even than our own loving parents. Now, I didn't experience the love of a father. He died when I was too young. But I see it out here. I see you with your parents. I see your fathers with your children. I've had children. And I love them. And I hope they know that I love them. But the Bible reveals that God loves us so much more dearly than our own fathers love us. That is amazing. He is our Father for the sake of Jesus Christ, meaning He gave His only begotten Son while we were still enemies and sinners to die for us and make us into His children. That's the way God loves us as our Father and Redeemer. Psalm 27, Isaiah 63, Jesus after His resurrection. Psalm 27, the psalmist says, though my father and my mother forsake me, You will hold me. You will receive me in Your home. Isaiah says, You are our Father, though Abraham, our earthly father, does not know us and says, You're not mine. You will claim me as Your own. And Jesus rises from the dead, and the women are going to grab His feet. And He says, don't do it. I've not yet gone, and I'm going to my Father and your Father. Because in Him, the Lord is our Father. Can you grasp that? Because that's where we find the fear of the Lord. Not in being afraid, but in knowing His love and our unworthiness. That is the true fear of the Lord. And keeping His commandments can only flow from that fear and awe. So yes, if I sit up in my coffin, I want to say more than the verse, than the text. But I'm going to hope you understand. If all you hear is the text, fear God and keep His commandments. How can we keep the commandments of God if we do not love Him? The first commandment of God is to love Him. The second flows out of it that we are to love our neighbors as ourselves. So nothing of this can happen without the love of God. And how can we not keep His commandments if we know Him in that way? This is the word of God that is kept before us, that the Spirit keeps pressing upon us as He renews the whole world in Jesus. You know, the Pharisees tried so hard to fear God and keep His commandments. It's what it seems like. They tried so hard to fear God and keep His commandments. And this is part of their Bible too. The Sadducees only accepted the law of Moses, but the Pharisees accepted Ecclesiastes too. It was part of their Bible. The text was in their Bible. Fear God and keep His commandments. They tried so hard. But they did not know God in Jesus. They rejected the grace of God. And so consequently, they crossed deserts and oceans to try to make a single convert. And the Bible says they only made them into a worse child of hell themselves. And they bound up heavy burdens on others, but they wouldn't lift a finger to help them. Do you know what that means? It means they multiplied laws for everybody else, but they never obeyed them themselves, and they never helped anybody to obey them. They're making them up. God does not want us to do that. He's not calling us to do that. Fear God. Marvel at His mercy. And in that light, you will keep His commandments. And that is the whole duty of man. The Westminster Catechism gets it right. What is the chief and highest end of man? Fear God and keep... Oh, sorry, no, that wasn't right. They should put it in different language. The answer they give is man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and to fully enjoy Him forever. It's not a translation, but it's a good application and understanding of Ecclesiastes. God has created us to live with Him, and He sent Jesus so that we might live with Him. And this we have to remember from the days of our youth, because if we don't, our life is utterly meaningless. Keeping His commandments is not about being good enough for heaven. And we all got to get over that. Keeping His commandments is not about being good enough for heaven. It's joining the saints who have gone before us, joining the angels in heaven, rejoicing in the resurrection of Jesus Christ and bringing heaven to earth. That is what the fear of the Lord creates in us. And that's why we can sing with David about loving the law of God, even while we are yet sinners. It's not about gaining heaven. It's about bringing heaven to earth. About turning an otherwise meaningless existence into a life with eternal significance. Amen.